It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're going to begin reading today in Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to start with the fourth verse, and then we're going to read to the end of the chapter. So please that you would open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to have a wonderful study of God's Word today. Glad that you've joined us. Now, while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Glad that you've taken a few moments today to spend this with us as we can study God's Word. I don't know if you're unable to go to church. I don't know if you are in the process of going to church. I don't know if you're what your schedule is, but I just hope that you have a few minutes to spend with us today to enjoy God's Word. Genesis chapter 15, now beginning to read with verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire, a furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of God's Word. Father, thank you today that we can enjoy this time. I just praise you for it. It's such a wonderful time to study your Word. Please, Lord, that you'll guide and lead us through it today. It is wonderful today, Lord, to be able to come together and to study and to enjoy this time. Please, Lord, that you will show us your way and will for our lives. And please, Lord, I just ask that you'll guide us through this Word, that we may learn every part of it, Lord. I don't want one part not to understand. And I know, Lord, as we grow, that each time we would read this verse of Scripture, you will open our eyes to another wonderful picture, another wonderful bit of wisdom from you. And please continue to do that forever, Lord. I never want to open your book, study your Word, that I don't learn from you. Now, please, Lord, guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, it's great and wonderful to study the Old Testament, and especially as we study the book of Genesis. It had so much for us to know, and maybe this is the first time that you have really studied. Maybe you've read it many times, but you've never kind of taken each verse and looked at it and enjoyed it. And this is one part here that you might have missed, and reading it and kind of wondered what its purpose is. And I hope today that you can see a purpose, because it is a beautiful, beautiful picture that I would hate for you to miss. And it started here with a question over in verse 8. And it said, he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And you know, any time that we question something of the Word of God, the best place to go is to Calvary. Well, we'll find that that's exactly where the Lord has taken Abram, so that he can see the promise and hold true and hold solid to that promise. The question was asked, and as we have looked at in the past times that we have been together, we'll find that Abram had a very little part in this picture. The only part he had was the putting to death of these sacrifices that we have. And if you remember the list that we looked at, we have a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, and then we have a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Now, we have spent just a few minutes, but I'm going to do the same today so that you don't miss this beautiful picture. We know, according to the Word of God, that every animal, and these animals, all of these animals, are a picture of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And the heifer is the cleansing work of salvation. I don't want you to miss that. And as we study through, I don't know where the Lord's going to have us to go when we finish with the book of Genesis, but if we would go on into Exodus and enjoy that study there, why, it will be wonderful. And I hope that there'll be a time that we can do that. And if not, if the Lord heads us off into a different direction in His precious Word when we finish Genesis, we may, hopefully you'll be able to study and enjoy the study of the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy, and have an understanding of what these offerings and sacrifices really mean. Well, we know by those books that the heifer, again, is the cleansing work of salvation. We know that the ram looks at the atonement. The goat is a carrying away of our sins into the wilderness. We've talked about those things. The pigeon and the turtle dove is the keeping of the power, the work of sanctification that we have. And so I hope that you will see that. Again, we spent just a little bit of time last week, not much last time we were together, but we're going to continue to learn and to grow of those things. But look at those animals, including the pigeon and the turtle dove, look at those as that, the cleansing power of salvation, the work of salvation, the atonement that we have, the carrying away of our sins, that they are never to return once we come by faith to Jesus Christ, and then once again the keeping power, the work of the Holy Spirit, as there is a work of cleaning us, cleansing us from this old work of flesh that we have, and to get us on the road and set towards the love and the desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at these, there's a couple things happened, and I want to spend just a minute there because it is kind of review. A horror, a great darkness came upon only after Abram was put to sleep. Now, again, remember, the only part that Abram had in this was to put these to death. Let's bring a reference over to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died on the cross. Who put Jesus on that cross? Man did. Who placed these animals one on each side, as this was a picture that was of Calvary and of what was to take place on Calvary? Abram did that. But if you'll notice, the work that went on after that, and the work that went on after this with Abram, whether it was Abram or at Calvary with the Lord Jesus, the rest of it was God's doing, not man's. And so we need to be careful that we don't try to bring ourselves into a part or a work of our salvation, because we'll do nothing but destroy it if we do. So please look, and look by faith. That's what Abram had. Deep sleep was put upon him. This this covenant that's coming, this agreement that's coming, is all God's doing, not Abram's. It was nothing to do with him. The promises that he gives us for salvation, for eternal life, for the forgiveness of sins, all that is God's doing. We have nothing to do with it except that we turn to him and come. And when that, in that coming, he even draws us with the Spirit. So please receive that call. Listen to that call and turn to him. I ask you to do that today, and don't miss this wonderful opportunity to become a child of God. We have a horror came over Abram, a horror of great darkness fell upon him, it says in the 12th verse, Genesis chapter 15, verse 12. And we talked about that's a picture of the sinner before a living true, perfect God. And that's exactly the condition that we should be in. We should be in horror and terror if we do not know Jesus Christ, because our sin is condemning us to death, and we'll die in that sin if you don't come by faith to Jesus Christ. And so we have a wonderful picture here. Now, as Abram is put aside, he is put to sleep. He is put into a deep sleep here in the 12th verse. Deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And so he was kind of put aside. And then we come, if you would please, and as we read that scripture, I'm going to move from the 13th verse, or from the end of the 12th verse, down to the 17th verse. And then we will go back and pick up what is said and went on between there, because this is what went on during the time that he was asleep. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Okay, now, as we, I wanted to read that for you, and then in the next verse it said, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Okay, let's back up now, and let's take a look. We have Abram in the 12th verse asleep. And he said unto Abram, while Abram was in this this condition, this deep sleep, the scripture says, horror of great darkness fell upon him, as your sin will when you face the truth of your sin. And so as this has taken place, we have this section. He said to him, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out of there with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That part from verse 13 through the 16th verse is what was said unto Abram. It was a promise of what was to come. It was a prophecy of what was to come. And so here's Abram, no children. Abram and Sarai have no children yet. They will have. Isaac is going to be born here soon. We even find a problem with Hagar and Ishmael. It's coming before we find Isaac, because as Abram tried to do it on his own with the his servant Eliezer, we also now have a situation here where, he tried once. Now God is giving him this promise, this beautiful promise. The question was, Lord God, whereby shall I know? And so he puts this before him, divides the animals. Now, we need to go back to the picture. Here we have a heifer that's 3 years old, a she-goat that's 3 years old, and a ram that's 3 years old, divided. On each side, we have the ram, the turtle dove, and the young pigeon, one on each side. We've talked about what they stand for. And now here comes Abram's fast asleep, a deep sleep. And as this is coming to Calvary, I think that's when the horror of this great darkness fell upon Abram. Because when we, if we refuse Calvary, we will die in our sin. And it is eternal death, separation from God, the lake of fire. And that's what we have as hope if we do not come by faith to Jesus Christ. And so please that you don't miss Calvary. You don't miss this picture. And God did not want Abram to miss it either. And he has given him this promise of the land that will come. And this promise of land, the promised land, as the joy that we have with the promised land to come, and that's going to be in heaven as we enjoy fellowship face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But he even tells him what's going to happen. And he said, "For a surety, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs." Now, if you have studied God's word, you'll find out that we go from Abram to Isaac to Jacob. And you remember Jacob and Esau. You maybe remember that that goes on in the scripture. We'll get there. But Jacob, his name is changed by God unto Israel. Now, he is the father of the nation of Israel. We think of Abram being the father, and he is. But the actual person, man, that fathered the 12 tribes is Jacob. And so Jacob then has 12 sons, and there becomes a famine in the land of Canaan. And we find before that, remember that Joseph was sold by his brothers to a caravan. Remember what happened? He was put into a well. We're going too fast here with the story, but I don't want you to, maybe this will kind of click in a little bit. They never liked Joseph. And so they tried to put Joseph, they beat him, they placed him in this well, they end up selling him to a caravan. He ended up down in Egypt. Well, in the process then, they bring this bloody coat, the coat of many colors, back to their father, back to Jacob, and said, you know, it must have been an animal that has killed him, because look at his coat, it's torn and it's bloody. Well, that was just a lie that the brothers had conjured up against Joseph. Well, Joseph ended up in Egypt, ended up in a high position in Egypt. Well, it wasn't long that there was a famine in the land. And the sons, a couple of the sons, went down into Egypt to find food. Well, before long, we know that all of the family moved to Egypt. That's exactly what it's talking about here in this scripture. Know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. That's when they were in Egypt. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And that's what took place. Before it was all finished, the nation of Israel were slaves to the Egyptians. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And he did. Remember the plagues? Before the nation of Israel left, and was led out by Moses, and they received all these plagues. Judgment came upon this nation, the nation that put them in bondage. Afterwards, they shall come out with great substance, the scripture says. Shall come out with great substance. Well, if you remember the word, you'll find that when they left, all they had to do was to ask the Egyptians for their gold and silver and precious stones, and they handed it to them. Now, isn't that something, how that a slave can ask their owner, those that have great wealth, to hand over their wealth, and they do? Well, do you see how important it is that we follow the will of God? Because that's exactly how the Israelites left Egypt, with the wealth of Egypt, because they inquired about it. God said, ask and they'll give it to you. And they did. And so all this is true. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And so you see, Abram will go to the grave prior to them going into the down into the land of Egypt. But he gave all this information. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. You're going to learn of the Amorites as we continue to study God's word. But as we see here, it says, in that fourth generation thou shalt come. And all this was given to Abram of what was going to happen to his family, and yet Abram had no children. And it came to pass. This was stated. Now, and again, as we look at this, we have this darkness. The sun went down. It was dark. Behold, the smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. the darkness, the smoking furnace, the burning lamp. Remember, this is for Abram. It's for his behalf. But remember, he had nothing to do with it. He had nothing to do with it. This work of redemption is performed by another. It is represented by this smoking furnace, the burning lamp, and the passing through. We have the justice of God. We have the love of God. Both of those are what folks would call attributes or characteristics of God. And God being perfect, he cannot go against being just. He cannot go against his character of love. So we have the justice of God. He is just. He is truthful. He is of truth. And he is righteous. God cannot lie. God, when he says something, it has to come to pass. And he is righteous. All this demands one thing. It demands the death of the sinner. Because, you see, we are born in sin. And so we must die. That's the justice. That's the side of God. And God can't go against that. He cannot go against that. Now, I want to show you back in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. This may be a very familiar verse of Scripture, but if you question what's going to happen to you if you don't trust in Jesus Christ, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Look back with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's you and me. We need a Savior. We need a Savior because God is just. God is truth. God is righteous. And the only part of that, we can have no part of it because we're a sinner and it demands that we die because God's Word says so. We look at the love of God. We have with this justice. We look now at the love of God. We have His love, which God is love. We have His mercy. We have His long-suffering. And we have His compassion. All the demands of salvation. That's what we need. We need God's love. We need God's mercy. We need His long-suffering. We need His compassion. But how can we have that when He is just and righteous and truth, and that demands sin? Let's look at the smoking furnace. God's eternal wrath. The smoke means judgment. We have many pictures of that. You can go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, if you remember. They looked and they saw the smoke rise up. Even when Moses received the law, we saw the smoke on Sinai. We know back in John, as John saw in the book of Revelation, he speaks of the smoke of their torment in the lake of fire. And so you see, it always comes to judgment. So this smoking furnace, we are talking about the judgment of God. God is just. He has to judge sin. But the other side is the burning lamp. And you have in that same 17th verse, behold a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. The burning lamp, God's eternal love. Light means life and love. When light comes, darkness is removed. And we need to see Jesus Christ more today than ever because we are becoming more and more in darkness. And the only way we can dispel that darkness is to have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please come to Jesus today and look unto the Lord Jesus today. We must see Him, we must know Him, and we must come by faith to Him. So by the presence of the light, the burning lamp, it dispels the darkness of judgment. Now, God's just. That justice demands death. God's love, that is seeking redemption. The love of God is seeking redemption. He wants to redeem us. All of this is done for you and me. We are poor, hopeless sinners. How can both be answered? You and I, we have to deal with this. How can we deal with this? We'll deal with it the same way Abraham did. We must come by faith. If you're trying to deal with it any other way, you lose. You come by faith to Jesus Christ. That's how you win. You win salvation. You win life. How can both of these be answered? The law has to be satisfied. You know, we should be very thankful. As a parent, many times when one of my children would do something that was wrong, I would make it very clear that if you do that again, I'm going to have to discipline you. I'm going to have to spank you because you can't do that. You do that again. How often did you say, and how often did I say, when they did it again? Now, I told you, if you do that again, I'm going to have to spank you. Now, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. Now, you know what that made me when I did that? That made me a liar. Because I said in the first place, if you do that, here will be the discipline. But I didn't carry it out. I want you to know for sure God will carry out His word. Don't think God is like us because God is not a liar. That made me a liar. God is not. God is perfect and true and truthful and just. So when He says something, that sin is going to cause you death, that's what's going to come. So how are we going to get beyond that? Because that is one of the attributes of God, His justice. He is just. But He is also love. Now, different than us, this has to be taken care of. Who passed through? It came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Abram was asleep. Abram was helpless. God passed through. That's Calvary. Remember, the pieces divided and the blood was brought between them. It was mingled between with the two sides. And as normally when an agreement would be made, they would stand between those two pieces and they would state the agreement, and then they would shake on it, and that would confirm it. And they would do that between this offering, this sacrifice. Well, you see, we couldn't have any part of it. So Abram's asleep. We can't have a part of it. God had to take care of it. God went to the middle, came out into those sacrifices. God's justice needed to be satisfied. And the only way it's satisfied is if someone dies. Well, that was done with His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus died. God's wrath was met. And at the same time, His love was shown when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. It's shown on the basis of this sacrifice. This sacrifice is an innocent sacrifice. This sacrifice was perfect. I'm sure these animals were as perfect as they could be. This sacrifice must have the shedding of blood, and the sacrifice must die. All things that we've talked about before were met here, as God gave us a beautiful picture of Calvary. Abram asked, "How shall I know?" He took him to Calvary. The agreement was made between God Himself. It's just like God went into the midst of this offering and He shook hands with Himself, because it was a promise and a covenant. And that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land." That's the 18th verse. Now, each time we come together, we get just a little bit further. I hope that you can see Calvary here. I hope that you understand. Now, please look closely and look carefully. Will you please come to Jesus Christ today? What are you going to do about Jesus?